Basically, through that process of becoming conscious of what you haven't seen in your life, in your past, in your present, you're able to let go of traumas, limiting beliefs, blockages, all kinds of things from a mental, emotional, and physical level.
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast. Today, I have a guest who has not only previously been on our show around 3 years ago, but Jordan Debano is a dear friend of mine, and he's an excellent coach, mentor, support person. He's an author of multiple books, a musician, and he's a John DeMartini facilitator, and he has personally helped me through my own journey roughly 7 years ago when we first connected, back when he was my sales coach. But he has helped so many of his own clients to overcome things like trauma, blockages in their business, and help them get clear and live their life in an authentic way and powerfully rewrite their stories. So Jordan Debano, welcome. It's so good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks for having me here, Phoebe. Good to be back.
Good to see you. Good to speak to you. The last time that we spoke, it seems like not only has a lot changed in my life, but a lot has changed in your life too. And one of the things that for me that I've been focusing on is my own growth and healing and my own journey. And when we first met around 7 years ago, you were sharing this method with me that has been so transformative till this day. I still talk about it to people. I still try it, but probably not as well as if I was to go through it with a facilitator. But I'd love to know, for those that are listening that have no idea what this DeMartini method is, could you tell us a little bit about the John DeMartini method? Like, what is it and why is it so powerful?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure everyone in the personal development space knows who Dr. DeMartini is. If you don't, he was actually one of the key personalities in the movie The Secret. Now, we all know The Secret. They spoke about the law of attraction and how you can basically manifest what you want into your life. And he has created a profound set of questions. It's a questionnaire when you look at it on the sheet of paper that makes you conscious of what you're unconscious of. And basically through that process of becoming conscious of what you haven't seen in your life, in your past, in your present, you're able to let go of traumas, limiting beliefs, blockages, all kinds of things from a mental, emotional, and physical level. Yeah, it's been great to facilitate all kinds of transformations. You know, we worked on some business stuff, relationships. I've done grief when people have died, people have had a loss in the family or a partner's passed away. I've seen people in debt. We've helped them break through that. I mean, anything you can think of when it comes to challenges and limitations, you know, we create it with our emotions and our thoughts. They're that powerful. So with the DeMartini method, you can use it on anything to raise your level of power in the world, essentially.
And raise your vibration. When we are operating in the world, in our business or in relationships and in life, and we still hold on to a positive or a negative charge, like resentment, which would be a negative charge, or guilt or shame or fear or anxiety, worry, there are things that will hold us back, especially in business. And if we are holding on to a really positive charge, like infatuation, it's also going to cloud our judgment because we're going to look at our partners and think the world of them.
Yes.
So, you know, I have shared and very openly shared on my podcast that I've just come out of a narcissistic relationship with someone that had a narcissistic personality disorder, and I had no idea because of the love bombing phase. And so I look back and I think, if I had done the DeMartini method when I was at the start of the relationship, during the idealization phase or the infatuation, then I probably would have seen the red flags a lot sooner and saved myself a year of going through that. But we live and we learn, and everything is a gift. So I'd love to firstly understand, in terms of, like, obviously, the DeMartini method helps us to dissolve charges. I'd love to understand, how can people dissolve a charge when they are using something that is logical, like pen, paper, writing down the benefits of a negative situation or the benefits of a negative trait? How can someone actually dissolve a charge when it seems to be so, like, logical or, like, done in your head as opposed to somatic, emotional type work?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a thing that you see a lot of in personal development. People have these thoughts that trouble them. It's repetitive. Oh, I can't get over this limiting belief, and they'll pump themselves up with affirmations and all kinds of things to compensate for the pain that they feel, where it's like, oh, I'm not enough to write the book, or I'm scared to get up on stage. And the thing is, staying on a mental level is safe because we're not getting into our body. As soon as we get into our body, we start to feel the depth of the emotion because, there are plenty of studies out there. I can't name them, but if you go research them, they're there, where scientists and physicists, doctors have found that we store emotions in our muscles, in
Yeah.
our whole body, that our cells have data from our past where all of our experiences live. And the thing is, if we stay up here, we're not getting into the full depth. And there's
Yeah.
actually a cycle that we talk about in the DeMartini world, in alchemy, and all kinds of transformation, where your body, when you at times people get physical pain, right? And they'll go, oh, I'm just tight and sore, I need to go to the physio. But actually, what's happening is they've had an unconscious thought come in, it's triggered an emotion, and it's hit their body. So some people will be very aware of their body and not very aware of what's going on up here and what they're feeling, but that's their gateway into healing. It's like physical pain. For other people, they're very aware of what's going on out here, but they're not feeling anything here. And then you meet the rare people, they kind of got a bit of thought feeling, and that's when healing can take place. But essentially, why it's so powerful is, when we have a thought, it's going to trigger a feeling, it's going to trigger a sensation in the body. When we're able to isolate the thought, isolate the emotion, and then isolate where it is in the body, and then link it back to when we actually encoded that data into our existence, that gives us a profound chance to then leverage a universal law, which is essentially the law of duality. Now, if you guys, want to go and read a profound book on this, it's called The Kybalion, and it speaks about the law of duality, which essentially states there's two sides to everything. You can't have good without bad. You can't have happy without mean. You can't have loss without gain. And in every John's philosophy, in every situation that we experienced where we perceived that we were almighty and powerful, or really down, there was always the other side in that moment. And when we can remember it, right, it's not a lot. And this is what I tell people, clients of mine, it's not a logical thing. It's a remembering, essentially. When we recollect that data, that balances out, let's say we're storing all the negatives and we get some positives from that memory, that's when we get love, we get enlightenment. And if I actually interviewed John earlier this year, and he spoke about that's how he actually developed the method. He was reading a science book, and he noticed that when positive charges, negative charges came together, you get light. And he goes, maybe that's how we work as well as humans. So,
Wow.
but that's the experience, and you would have experienced it too when you're really negatively charged, and then you all of a sudden see in that memory, hang on, it wasn't all dark. There was this, 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 and this, and that led to this, this, and this. You can't help but cry. You feel it in your body. And then it's like, oh, well,
And you're not holding
actually.
on to anger or resentment or,
Yes.
like, such heavy emotions anymore. You come back to love. And I think ultimately, if the closer we are to love and enlightenment, the higher our frequency and our vibe is, and then we can attract better people in our lives, and also it improves everything, our business, our social life.
100%, because we start to create, manifest, use whatever you want, whatever word, but we start to create consciously instead of unconsciously.
Yes.
Because when these charges from relationships, from deaths, from losses in money, physical accidents, when they stay stored in the body as a positive, we've got to speak about positives in a minute because everyone's like, I love feeling positive. Maybe you don't, right? Or the negative charges, that's when we actually start to create unconsciously, or as Eckhart Tolle would say, evolve unconsciously. We develop a life that's unconscious, that's got all these things, all these problems. And we're like, why does this keep happening to me? It's like, well, no. That's not happening to you. You're creating it because you're not aware of these charges in the body and the mind.
That's right. That's right. And I totally agree that if we don't see that something is neither good nor bad, it just is, and we stop labeling an event as, like, for example, even though I'm going through part grief, part trauma healing, I still find the experience that I had not something that I would look back on and go, I wish that never happened to me. Like it was actually a really, even though it was part delusional, because when you're in a relationship with a narcissist, they are delusional and you're just in their fantasy world and you're a guest in their play. But there are lots of joyful experiences that can come out of it that you can learn from. And I think if we can come back to a place of gratitude and thank an experience for how it will make us, you know, how it will evolve us as humans, we ultimately get to grow and we ultimately get to not only heal our own pain and our own wounds, but we also get to inspire and heal others as well, just by showing them how we've done it for ourselves.
We really are all connected. We're all daughters and sons of the greater world, greater universe. And when we're in pain, we're essentially saying, I am separate to everything that's going on here. I've got nothing to do with the world. I've got nothing to do with other people around me. But it's not true. We're all connected. And when we're admitting negative charges or positive charges, we're always going to attract it gets so now we're getting into another law of the DeMartini method, law of polarity. We're going to attract the exact opposite to either humble or bring ourselves up. So we come into center. And that is so we actually become of service to everything around us. Can I give you an example of this one?
Absolutely.
So when I first came across this method, I was in sales, right? So I remember I started at this coaching company that's selling business coaching. Couldn't sell a course, right? Was very confident, had all the right words to say, had the script, and it didn't matter. It just, people weren't buying. And I'm getting to the end of my 3 month probation. I'm going, crap, I've moved my life up to Sydney to work for this company, and oh my God, like I'm working super hard. What's going on? And that's when I came across my mentor in the DeMartini world, Emmanuel Anthony, fantastic guy, lived in Sydney at that time, still lives
He's
in
been
Sydney
my
now.
mentor as well. In more recent years, he's helped me through some stuff as well. He's a great guy. Definitely check him out. He's been on my podcast as well.
So I'm going. I'm down to the last straw here. I've got all the best sales mentors at the company. Got to go internal. Got to go in. And when I say internal, into my own mind and, give it a shot. I mean, I didn't believe that shifting things inside would change anything out here, but I was desperate. And he shared something with me that completely changed my life. And it was this law of polarity. It's like when you're too high, you're always going to attract challenges to bring you back down so you're centered and connected to what's actually going on around you. If you're too low, you're going to have people up on a pedestal, and you're also going to attract different kinds of challenges to bring you up so that you can essentially be powerful and contribute to what's going on around you. And for me, I had a lot of pride, very arrogant, probably still do at times.
I don't
It's
see you as
you know
arrogant, but
yeah but yeah it's been a work but it's a ever evolving work, but very very proud because I'd had some business success at quite a young age. And we went through a process this process on my father, we, you know, there was some really intense charges regarding my dad. And oh my God, Phoebe, I remember it took 5 minutes, 5 minutes of Emmanuel asking me these questions in the Demartini method. I just started bawling my eyes out. And it was both sides. We looked at the positives for negative events, and we also looked at the negatives for the positive events. I remember that next week I came in. I had my first call at a 7 a.m. on a Monday. No one had come into the office, and the first sale went through. It went through a 60-minute strategy session. I don't know if people still do that,
Wow.
but it went through. And I'm going, oh, okay.
I truly believe that the blockages in our business are all us. It's always us.
100%, and you know, that third month I turned it around, and then you know, I went on to set company records in the following months because all the skills were there.
Wow.
But what was happening, I can tell you from a macro level, like, you know, I can explain what was actually happening there in, with sales. I was looking upon a distorted reality. All my charges regarding my father and experiences that I'd had with him as a kid were being projected out onto reality, and I was compensating with my pride because I felt hurt deep down. I'm like, I'm going to be proud, I'm going to be strong, and I'm going to be like a macho man, right? But that was my read. It's like reality's unsafe out there. If I'm not proud and I'm humble, I'm going to get crushed. And it was like as soon as that got balanced out, it was like a different Jordan came out.
Wow.
But the reality is that Jordan was always there. My perception of the reality changed. Therefore, the real Jordan could, the more authentic Jordan, could come out and actually create with what's there. And this is why it's so powerful because, you know, we're all looking upon a bit, not, I shouldn't say a bit, quite a distortion out there. You know, we've got our beliefs, we've got our charges, and the more we associate with them through like feeling really angry, really guilty, or really positive and happy, the more distorted our lives become. And you know, that's where the shitstorm starts.
Oh, well, then you get into territory where, like narcissistic territory. That's when it's like so distorted. They are perpetually living in their fantasy world and, they get caught up in, like in all their lies and all of that. So that's, yeah, that, I mean, that's really extreme and intense. And I think most people don't get to that point. But, every human has narcissistic tendencies, and that's I think that's what you're talking about, right? Like when it, yeah, like pride, ego, and all of that is to really cover up for internal stuff, like insecurities, for example.
You know, our ego, if we didn't have it, like a lot of people say, I don't have an ego, right? There's some people,
Oh,
when I was traveling through Bali, I met a lot of them.
so many people
I don't
say
have an
that.
ego. And it's the ego saying that, right? But we
The ego
need it.
saying they don't have ego.
Yeah,
Right.
we need an ego. Because if we didn't, we wouldn't know how to essentially get it out in the world. So the ego's not bad. Where the ego becomes, let's say, not useful is when we're trying to create something new. You know, when we're trying to create something new, we will feel things, we'll think things, and we buy into those thoughts and feelings, and we think they're real. And the truth is, if they're extremely charged, often they're not. They're not that accurate of what's going on out there. You know, and this is why this law of duality and polarity is so powerful. When you know that you're charged, you know straight away, well, there's another side I'm not seeing here. So the ego, a lot of spiritual teachers talk about this. The ego is actually a gateway into unlocking your greatness. You know, if you understand how to lord duality, how to leverage duality, I should say, you'll see. There's I want to lean into my charges and demystify them.
Love it. So, Jordan, how can someone get started now knowing that there are charges? They've got to dissolve it. They've obviously got to get back to neutrality so that they aren't carrying that stuff for years and years. And what's the first step?
Okay. My perspective on this has actually changed in this year, actually, on this question. It's a very powerful question because a lot of people that want to do this kind of work, they there's a critical choice you essentially have to make, which is that I want to expand. I want to do this work to expand as a human, as a entrepreneur, as a partner. I want to expand. As soon as you do this work to fix your challenges, because you think the problem's bad, it's like, I can't do repeat that again. We start to develop this unhealthy relationship with healing. It's like, I need to fix my, like we in, the problem has gone from out there, and then and the subconscious mind, it can't, when we start sending it messages, it doesn't delineate whether it's us or out there, right? It's just, oh, a problem, right? And what can happen, we start to identify ourselves as the problem. So it's like, I've got to fix myself so I don't repeat this relationship again. I don't repeat these money blocks. So I'd say, if you're wanting to get started on this, understand that all the problems that have gone on in your life, they're not a reflection of you. They're just creations. And you can choose to put an end to it, right? But we don't do it by trying to fix them. We never do that. We make them stronger. Essentially, the choice is, I want to lean into this work because I want to expand. I want to grow. I want to evolve. And that's a different game, completely different game. And I want to share a powerful story with healing while we're on this topic, because I remember when COVID hit, just before we did our episode, actually, I was in Melbourne. I had so sales had gone really well, opened up a call center multiple years later, and become something in the business world. COVID hit, lost the business. So long story short, and I've got charges, right? So I'm here in my apartment and I'm feeling like a loser, right? So in the pit, very negatively charged. The salesman identity had been crushed, and it's like, either I try and build this back up or I go and do something else. For 3 months, Phoebe, I tried to fix every insecurity that I could find with myself to find, like, to essentially compensate for all the reasons that the business closed. I didn't want to accept, hey, this thing's coming out of nowhere. No one knew we were going to have a pandemic. Your business has just had its run its course. But I couldn't accept that. It's like, it's got to be me. So I'm looking at, why didn't I come out with a different offer, or why didn't I do this? Why wasn't I confident enough? La la. And I'm working on myself. I'm doing all of this crazy, crazy things to try and heal myself. And all it did was make it worse. So from what started as, I'm feeling guilty that my staff members have lost their jobs, and I'm feeling ashamed of myself at 28, giving up this thing that I chased for so long. Just started as a little conversation. It came to this crippling depression where I couldn't even get out of bed, couldn't even get out. And
Wow.
I've got all this knowledge. And it made it worse because I know this stuff. I'm like, Jordan, you know how to heal people. You know how to fix, rise above it. What's going on? Couldn't get out of bed. And
Wow.
I remember I got desperate. I did a Vipassana thing in my house where I was meditating for hours. I think it was like 8 hours a day,
Days. Wow.
days, right? Yeah, throughout the pandemic.
I remember you telling me about that.
I was telling you, and it got to a point where, and I'm sitting with these thoughts, and I started to get suicidal because I'm like, I can't get rid of it. It's becoming bigger, 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 bigger. When I got to Byron Bay, met my next mentor, William Whitecloud, and he dropped this simple but such a profound principle. He goes, "We're not broken. We're not broken. Our problems are just creations. They're not personal. We created it. And we've got to understand the part of us that brings things to life is not the same part as our ego, our wounds. Our wounds are completely separate. We can create a new reality just through making a new choice." And for me, it just dropped. It's like, oh, I've been trying to fix myself using all this personal development and wisdom, and it's torn my life apart. So then what I started to do was, I was like, okay, I'm going to use the Demartini method. I'm going to use everything I have. And now the past is the past. I own it. I created it. I've got to start again. And I tell you what, within a week, all that stuff, all that busyness just started to quieten down, quieten down, quieten down. It's like, oh, okay, here I am. I'm not lost in the forest. So, the most important choice you can make before you do any of this work is that you want to expand. You want to expand into you, the you that's already there. You don't need to be fixed. You don't need to change anything that happened in the past. You just want to expand. And if looking at the past is on that journey, so be it. But you've made that choice. It's for expansion, not for fixing yourself.
Wow, that's such a powerful message, Jordan. And thank you so much for being so vulnerable and sharing that, because I didn't even know you were going through that at that time. But I do remember you going to Byron Bay. I do remember you going on an 8 day or a Vipassana journey, and you were saying how transformational it was, because it's deep work when you sit there in silence, because you go through layers and layers and layers and layers of thoughts, of beliefs, of core beliefs, and you end up breaking them down, I'm guessing. And then you stripped it all back.
And you see underneath what's actually going on. It's like my life has become an improvement project. I'm not a building, I'm not a house, I'm a person. I don't need to be fixed or improved. I want to expand. This is, it's
Wow.
It, it and I meet so many people that are still in it, and sometimes the choice I make is I step back and I don't get involved because the thing hasn't dropped. It's like, hey, if we come at this work now while you're in problem solving, we're going to make it worse. Sometimes I turn people away, but when people are ready, when they're like, when I hear things like, Jordan, I want to change career, I want to make a change, or I want to write a book, or don't have the relate. I really want to bring in. As soon as I hear create and it's got just that forward, that's when I know, okay, we're going to create some magic here. But as soon as it's, I need to fix the debt, fix this, we're only going to make it worse.
That is so true, and that's such a good reminder, because I think even I fall into that trap where I'm like, oh, I want to keep doing more personal development work. No, don't start another relationship. Don't,
Yeah.
you're not ready until you're fixed. Don't go on a date even. Like, and we think we are, like building projects. And you're so right. Like, I was saying to someone just the other day that we will never stop growing. We will never stop improving. So if you want to like completely be healed and fixed before you go and start that relationship, you'll probably be 99, and you'll still probably have areas you need to
You still have things.
improve. Like, that's what this life journey is about. So I love that.
I look at it. We have two vehicles. We have a creative vehicle, which is our intuition, where you use the Demartini method and you come more into love and light. I mean, you receive a lot more. You receive all kinds of weird and wonderful urges, and you're like, well, why am I wanting to do this? This is new. And that's the that those are the whispers from our soul, our greatness, leading us forward, right? But then we have our stuff, we have our past, we have our ego that's going tape recorder playing the same old movie, same old things from all our experiences. And the more you do this stuff, the more you choose to expand and you want to become, I call it, the predominant creative force of your life. You want to make that choice for yourself. You realize it's like, well, actually, Law of Duality says I'm going to have some stuff, and I'm going to have some light. I need both. I need both. I tell my clients this all the time. If you can't feel the pain of your ego and work on that, then you will never, ever, ever truly feel the amazing feeling that you get where you write a book intuitively, or you close this business deal out of nowhere and you go, oh man, I'm really inspired. You just won't, right? You won't. And this is why it's important. Work on yourself and expand and grow, but get out there and create. Get out there and create, because you can't just work on the ego without, as you said, we'll get to 99 and there'll still be problems there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's totally it. And I also wanted to ask you, I mean, we had a brief conversation about this when we last spoke. So when you're doing the Demartini method, how do you like what do you physically do to in order to make it as effective as possible, because there's obviously the head stuff and the writing or the typing aspect where we're neutralizing a thought or a charge. But physically, is there something that you practice or you do that helps it become more effective?
Absolutely. So I'll give you a few things. And you're going to think it's a bit like too good to be true, but seriously, it's all about the what you plant in your subconscious, because our subconscious is essentially our master creator. Whatever message we feed it, we're going to see it out there and we're going to experience it. So I make a choice, but whenever I go into something like this, Demartini method and meditation, I make a choice. I want to get the full benefit out of this. Now I'm going to call out a lot of people here, because I can tell you, when I started with the Demartini method, it was kind of like, I want to get the benefit, but this is really hard to let go of. As soon as you come in with that mind frame and you're like, I don't really want to see the other side to this fucking, ex-girlfriend and what happened there, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot. So the first thing
There are people that don't want to dissolve their ex-girlfriends or
they
their
don't want,
ex-girlfriends. They want to hold on to that like
that's it.
feeling of I did wrong by them, or I wasn't a good enough partner, or they want to hold on to. And I know people that have held on to their exes for years, and I'm like, why would you want that? Like, I don't
And they
want to
do
hold
the
on to it for a
process.
single day.
They do the processes and everything. I actually
Yeah.
ran a whole class on this for a group of my clients, and it was titled, Do You Really Want Growth? And I
Yeah.
went and I said, before you do another meditation, before you do any, what intention are you setting beforehand? Because if it's, I just want to feel nice, that's not growth.
No.
That's not growth. So the first thing you do is you set the intention. You tell yourself, I want to get the full benefit of this. The next thing you do is you also assume that you need to be open. So it's like, I'm choosing to be open.
That's
Because
right.
if you come in closed-minded and in a, I know how it all went down, your intuition actually won't kick in to help you in seeing the other side. I was actually speaking with a friend of mine who's a facilitator as well on the weekend, and we were saying how critical intuition is in the Demartini method. Like, that's where you get to mastery, where you start writing benefits. You go, oh, actually, yeah, that's true. Where did that come from? And it's that's what start, but it won't happen if you're closed. So you choose to be open. And as you go through the questions, you really want to get into your body. And that happens on a few levels. You want to get to where the actual event happened. So you want to go right, like where it was, when it was, and you want to remember as much as you can in terms of like a visual picture, how you felt. Okay, you want to go there. And you want to locate it in your body. Now,
Wow.
what can happen? Sometimes people go, I don't know where I feel it. I don't know how I feel. The first thing I say is, make it up. People go, make it up. How can I make it up? It's like, well, when you make things up, that's actually the gateway into your intuition. A lot of people don't know this. But when we start to imagine things and we've set intentions and we're fully willing to receive, imagination and making it up, it's actually the gateway into a expanded level of awareness. So when I say make it up, where is it? My left hip. Okay, what is it? Sad. And we tell me what's going on. All of a sudden, the tears, the shivers, and they're there. And it's like, before they didn't know what was happening, but it's like, make it up. Oh, da, 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 da. Oh, I'm there. Right. So don't, if you're listening to this, never, ever, ever accept you, because it'll be your ego that can't remember it. Can't feel it. Don't know where it is. That's your ego trying to stop you from going any further. Don't buy it. Don't take the bait. Make it up. And then when you're there, you obviously go through the process, which I can't cover the whole process, quite a few questions, but that is essential. You want to be in your body. You want to be feeling the emotion, and you want to be there, back there in that memory to really experience the release, if you will, on all
So
levels.
you're saying go back to that emotion, to that charge, And then do the work, then do the Dia Martini, writing out all the benefits or the drawbacks.
Yeah, going through the specific questions. You want to be in your body, you want to be seeing it in your mind, and you want to be feeling it.
Right.
But even before that, you got to make the choices. You got to make the
Yeah.
choices, because I've worked with people, and when I first started with this work, I would just dive straight in there. I wouldn't set intentions. I wouldn't get very intentional, with my work. And some people would fly through it. I mean, you flew through it, so you really wanted to go in the work. Your ego wasn't resisting. Other people, they were resisting, and for years I couldn't work it out. What's going on? And it's like, people haven't set an intention, because whatever intention you set, whether it's breaking through something using the Demartini method, eating dinner with your family and being present, it's all intentional. Everything we do is based on intention.
I remember in one session, you helped me completely wipe out, just completely let go of my ex. And that was amazing. It was so amazing. I talked about this for years because I think by that stage, I was like two, I'd been broken up with my ex for 2 years, and there were still things that I were little thoughts that I'd still ruminate on that just bothered me that. Little things that I just didn't like about him still. And in one session, I was able to think of him and go, oh, I don't feel any negative or positive thing. It just happened. And then in the next session, we were working on mum and dad stuff, and that was hard. Like I don't think that's ever fully been done. And I know that there's obviously still more work to be done there. But sometimes it does take a few goes because, guys, for those that are listening, an event or a thing, it's never just one charge. Like you look at, for example, even just something as simple as a breakup, there's multiple charges because then there's betrayal of a friend, there's feeling wounded or abandoned or replaced or all these things. So it's not just one charge. And that's just in relationships. So when we're looking at things like our childhood, our families, I think there's so much to work through. And that's why I think having a facilitator like yourself is so important because sometimes I'll be honest, I get really overwhelmed because I'm like, I don't know what to dissolve next. So I'm just not even going to do it, right? It's easier to just be like, ah, I don't know what to do next. I'm not going to waste an hour on this if it's not the right one. And you end up just not doing it.
Well, there's always it's like dominoes, right? If you knock the 15th domino down, you're only going to knock over what's after it, but there's still all the other ones. But if you knock the first domino down, you're going to get everything. And a facilitator, that the benefit of it is we can hear what's got the most charge. So we're trained to do that, especially ones that are intuitively trained,
Wow.
right? But because we can hear the charge, we can hear when someone's lopsided. When you do enough breakthroughs, it comes up. I wanted to say, so yes, our parents are a very powerful one to do with this work, because when we're kids, we actually go through this phase of development called individuation, where we start to actually become aware that we are a separate being from our mum. When we're born, we don't know. We think we're the same as our mum. We think we're the same as everyone else. And we don't see that we're actually a unique human. And what happens throughout this process is what helps us see that we're separate to our mum, our dad, and everything else around us, is we develop limiting beliefs. So a lot of people don't know this. Our limiting beliefs is what actually at first helps us see that, oh, I'm unique. And how that our limiting beliefs are actually developed is based on how our parents meet our needs. So our mum is there for nurturing, for nutrition, for comfort. If she, and no parent's perfect, no parent gets it all right, to the degree that she meets our needs, that's actually going to determine what beliefs we carry about our worthiness, about our sense of belonging. And a bunch of other ones that I need to get the textbook out to read out,
Mm.
but those are the main feminine ones. And then we have our dad, which our dad is meant to show us how it is in the world, how we essentially assert our body, mind, and everything in the world. And it's to the degree that he meets those needs is going to create masculine limiting beliefs.
Wow.
So a lot of people, when you have that awareness, it's like, we don't get angry at our parents and go, God, you screwed me up. Everyone has it, right? No parent's going to get it right.
No one's
But
perfect.
through dissolving and neutralizing those core limiting beliefs, you'll find they often lead back to our parents. So if we just go there and we list the traits that, piss us off about our parents, you'll find that that's where a lot of the momentum starts. Your relationships will change, your business, you show up with more confidence
Wow.
and presence. It all starts with them, because you think about it, the masculine and the feminine, the mother, the mother and the father. It's just that's the way it is.
Yeah, and healing the mother wound and the father wound is so good because like it's something that really can hold us down and hold us back,
Yeah.
and can weigh us down for years, decades, for
Yeah.
Lifelong, if you don't work on that and break through that and break out of that. So, yeah,
Yeah.
that's a powerful reminder.
Absolutely. It goes to show in sales. It's a very masculine activity. What did I work? I worked on my father, and then all of a sudden, that's a masculine wound. I remember when I got into music, when I started music, a lot of the healing was feminine, because you got to receive the music before you start creating it. You got to hear something. There's got to be some inspiration. And for a long time, I wasn't getting anything. But as a lot of the mother wound got healed, I started to receive, which is very much a feminine attribute. And for guys that are listening out there, every bloke and every woman has both masculine and feminine attributes. So you work on both, right? Men don't just
That's
work on
right.
father, women don't just work on mum. We work on
Yes, that's it. Thanks for clarifying.
both.
Jordan, it's been so good to have you on the show. I love witnessing your journey. Like you have just evolved so much and you're just holding space for you're holding space for so many people and yourself. And obviously your business has been able to scale because of that, because you've done the inner work. I'd love to know for those that are listening, how can they get in touch with you to work with you? And what's one last message that you would like to give the world that would, what's that? If you could leave the world with one message today, what would it
Okay, I'll answer the easy question first.
be?
Just go to Instagram. I'm great on Instagram, or LinkedIn. Just type in Jordan DeBano, with an apostrophe. Italian last name. Don't forget that. You'll find me. Send me a message. I post videos, and there's a bunch of information about my offerings there. One final message. Okay, I'm gonna practice what I preach here and make it up. We all have something within us that wants to expand. We all want to have an experience in our lifetime. For me and you, it's entrepreneurship. For others, it's writing. And for a lot, I believe for everyone, it's a multitude of things. It's not just one. And the more that we can realize that what we're seeing isn't the whole picture, the more we can lean into that. That calling, that heart that's saying, hey, go do this, and his ego's coming in going, no, don't do it. The more we're able to challenge that voice that's saying, don't do it, the more we can actually lean into that calling. So I
Yeah,
hope
that's
this
beautiful.
inspires you guys to do just that.
Thank you so much, Jordan. That actually reminded me for a moment there of the value elicitation exercise that John DeMartini walks people through, because all the things that are of the highest values to us at the moment, at this moment in time, is actually what we perceive is lacking. I think he talks about that, right?
Yeah, so our values are essentially what is going to inspire us the most to take action on. So, we can quite often ask the question at times of change, I don't know what's next for me, but it's actually quite simple, right? We all have intrinsic values, and when we can come to understand those, it's very obvious what our soul, our heart is pulling us towards to essentially create. And combine that with intuitive whispers and what have you, we can fill our life with so many inspiring things. Those are intrinsic values. And then of course we have extrinsic values, the shoulds, woulds, must, I need, that we want to really try and eliminate as much as we can, because they never really reflect what's going on in the inside.
So good. I wish we could just keep going with this conversation forever.
Yeah,
There's so much to talk about. And for anyone that's listening, make sure to check out Jordan's work because it's really wonderful when people share their work and their journey online with others, and you get to see the evolution of a person through just, yeah, through things like social media. And it's fantastic. So please reach out. Make sure that you guys, if you've enjoyed this episode, make sure you leave a review as well on Apple Podcasts. Stay subscribed. And I can't wait to share with you guys more inspiring tips, advice from mentors, from experts. Till next time, thank you so much. And Jordan, thank you for your value and for everything that you've shared, for your wisdom. It's been so great having you on the show again.
thanks for having me, Phoebe. Great to be here.
So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.